Hello everyone and welcome to another CineQuest video. We're here again to talk about the top 10 favorite films of 2023 with some honorable mentions, and stay tuned to the end for a few of the worst. Right, before we get started, I do have to point out to the fact that I have not seen every single movie of 2023. Life happens, things get in the way, and you just don't get into a theater in time, or you can't stream it, or I'm not going to pay so much to rent some movie. It really just depends. Now, first off, I will say that there are a few movies still on my list as of this recording right now that I have not seen, that I still want to see, and a few that I have gotten in at the last minute. So far I have not seen Killers of the Flower Moon, Past Lives, Iron Claw, and Poor People, I think. One with Emma Stone. Anyways, but I have not seen those movies yet, and I'm pretty sure as much praise as they're getting, they could have potentially have been on one of these lists. So let's get to the honorable mentions. First on the list for honorable mentions is Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So we have Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, reprising their roles, and even Vin Diesel as Groot. This was a nice little send-off to Guardians of the Galaxy and James Gunn leaving the Marvel Cinematic Universe to head up DC now. We'll see how that goes. But I did like the villain a lot, and then had a lot of an emotional pull with Rocket, as seeing him, where seeing his origins. And there's that one scene in there that kind of even got me tearing up, because they're cute. These are cute animals, and you don't want to see any cute animals get hurt. Spoilers on that. But I mean, it was an enjoyable movie, and I did like it a lot, and I had a lot of fun with it. Another honorable mention is Infinity Pool. This is directed by Brandon Cronenberg, son of David Cronenberg. I had not seen too many films from him prior to this one. I really enjoyed this one a lot. It's just as weird as I assume his father would have directed something like this. But Mia Goth's performance was great. Alexander Skarsgård was great in this. Cleopatra Coleman also. This is just like a fever dream movie. A bunch of elite rich people on drugs, getting away, pretty much getting away with murder. And again, just a weird movie. And I hope to see what's next for Brandon Cronenberg. Next honorable mention is Renfield. Renfield does star Nicholas Hoult as Renfield and Nicolas Cage as an amazing Dracula. And I could have a movie just with that alone. Just brought up a lot of fun. It's just a fun time watching Nicolas Cage going over the top with Nicolas Cage as Dracula. And again, a movie on its own is something I'm wanting to watch. Other characters, Ben Schwartz was funny. Awkwafina also. I never knew who she was, and I thought she was funny in this movie also. A lot of people thought this movie was trash. I had fun watching it, and that's why it's an honorable mention. I think the first review that we did this year was the next honorable mention on my list, and that is Megan. I had a surprisingly fun time watching this movie. I think this could be a character, a nice little franchise continuing forward. Was a little more tame on the blood and the gore than I was hoping for. But, you know, other than that, it made up for with, like, the humor and just the effects and just pretty much the character of Megan, how the characters interacted with each other. It was just a fun horror movie. Again, I saw this in theater with a bunch of kids, and, I mean, they seemed to enjoy it as well. But, yeah, fun movie, Megan. Another honorable mention is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I haven't really seen too many Mission Impossibles, I think, after Part 3. I do really like Part 1 a lot. Part 2, I'm still kind of blanking on it. I think that was the John Woo film. But this one was a lot of fun. It was nice to see Isai Morales as a villain. I don't think I've seen him much in much films since La Bamba. But, I mean, I really haven't been looking either. So a lot of old characters from Mission Impossible come back to reprise their role. And like I said, it's just a fun action movie. Tom Cruise is doing like these outrageous stunts as usual, and he's giving people their money's worth. And I really appreciated that. So, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. Two last minute additions to the honorable mention that I kind of just, I just saw them recently. Like, I saw one of them today. Was The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti and The Creator. Both movies I did want to watch in theaters, and that's kind of like why they're not on my top favorite at the moment. I felt they would have been more enjoyable in the theater to watch them. But nonetheless, they're really good movies, and you should check them out. I believe The Holdovers was on Peacock, and then I saw Creator on Hulu. One last thing about The Creator, like the last like maybe 20 minutes of the movie, the audio kind of skyrocketed, and there was a lot of like background noise and a lot of hiss. I don't know if that was deliberate. Maybe it's just the app. Maybe it's just my Roku. I don't know, but that kind of took it away, took away from like actually watching the movie, because I had to lower down the volume just to not hear the a blaring background noise. But other than that, overall, good story. Nothing new for either of these movies, but still enjoyable films. Now to get to the list of my top 10 favorite films of 2023. So I made a quick mistake regarding my number 10 video for 2023. So I had to come back on here and record that. And number 10, Asteroid City. Asteroid City is a Wes Anderson written and directed film. Stars Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton. It's a stacked cast is basically what it is. And the movie is just so surprisingly funny. I'm not the biggest Wes Anderson fan. I do like some of his movies. But this one, again, missed it in the theater. I really wanted to watch that. It looks great. The cinematography is great. It has a very Wes Anderson deadpan type of comedy to it, which I do enjoy. And like I said, it shot really well. The juxtaposition between the fact that they're in this in Asteroid City, having to do with like a science fair kind of thing, and then we jump to Bryan Cranston as the narrator of the play that's taking place in Asteroid City, and you're showing like the audience that is or the actors that are participating in this and how they're going about making this. It's just a strange, quirky movie. Again, very deadpan comedy. I like that. And that's why it is number 10. And surprisingly, rolling like the two. So, I mean, that's another reason why. It was just so funny. I know a lot of people said it was boring. Again, these movies are not for everybody. This is just my opinion. Number 9 is Cocaine Bear. What a surprise. When we did a review for Cocaine Bear, we had nothing but praise for this movie. It was just a fun time at the movie. There's no anything further that you have to think about this movie. It is a bear who's on cocaine. That's it. That's what you're getting. And I mean, by title alone, you know it's going to be a ridiculous movie, unless anyone was expecting some kind of like serious true crime movie about a bear that's on cocaine. And by trailer alone, like, it did show that it was going to be kind of just a campy, fun movie. I mean, the CGI is not that great. The bear is all CGI. It's crazy to think that was like Ray Liotta, one of Ray Liotta's last movies, if not the last movie. I had a good time watching it, and he was great. Ice Cube's son, I forget his name, but he was also great in there, as well as everyone else. Just fun characters. Kerry Russell was in there as well, I believe, as a mom. Kids were funny too. There's a lot of plot holes, a lot of nitpicking with the story. Big deal. I want to see the bear kill people while he's on cocaine. That's exactly what I got. The movie delivered, and I enjoyed it. The end. Number 8, Thanksgiving. A more recent entry. My list has been shifting for a while, but I had to put Thanksgiving in there as well because, again, another fun time in the theater. I laughed a lot of the kills. Eli Roth was a little worried how he's going to adapt that old Grindhouse trailer into this new film. Considering watching the trailer, I was a little bit hesitant because it didn't have that kind of grainy Grindhouse type of feel to it, but like, it still kept somewhat faithful to a Grindhouse type of movie. even with all the new technology and all the just the more modern film, you know, because I mean, I was expecting like that real grainy grindhouse stuff, which I really wanted. I didn't get it, but still, I enjoyed the movie. It was so much fun. Kills are great. Not very memorable characters or main characters. I could take or leave those. I think majority of the movie was based on how awesome and fun the kills were, and the fact that it takes place on Thanksgiving, which is a ridiculous thought. And I'm pretty sure it's not the first Thanksgiving movie, because I mean, we got Thanksgiving. Some consider Poltergeist that. It is not, I don't think. But those Thanksgiving movies are ridiculous, and this one kind of fits into that as well, even with its more mainstream type of filmmaking, I guess. Number 7. When Evil Lurks is an Argentinian horror film. It had some awesome, little lore to it. It was nice. It was a possession movie done in a very different way. And this year we got a lot of possession movies that were just crap. But this was one of the better ones. I was kind of confusing on how the lore or like the explanations on how possession works in this movie. It is gory, not as gory as I was anticipating, but still like a good balance of a good story with a new take on possession. I don't think there's any like dubs on this, but like watch it with the subtitles in the original language. It is way more impactful that way. So check it out, When Evil Lurks. Not just one of the better horror movies of this particular year, but probably one of the better ones that I've seen in a long time. Number 6. Sisu. This movie kind of fell under the radar. I just remember seeing a quick trailer of it and then just forgot about it entirely. This is another one of those movies this year where I didn't really need to be thinking too much. This is doesn't have too much depth. It's about a guy killing Nazis. And who doesn't want to see that? I mean, we need to see more of that often on the screen. But it does take place in like the 40s. This gentleman finds gold. He wants to take the gold to pretty much cash it out. But he has to get through all this nonsense of the end of the war. And he has to come across a bunch of Nazis that pretty much want to rob him. He's not going to let them do that. And then just chaos ensues and awesome kills. Characters are fairly one-dimensional. But that's all I needed for this movie. Like, it's... was it someone killing Nazis? That's all I needed to see. That's it. And I had a great time watching it. And you should check it out. Number 5. Talk to Me. This is one of those movies where I went to go watch it with Bryce. And he was probably more excited to watch it than I was initially. Because the trailer didn't look that great. Didn't seem like anything special. It is an A24 movie. And I love an A24 horror. But this just didn't seem like it fit in that particular type of film. Boy, was I wrong. Talk to Me is a film that was directed by the Filippo brothers. I think that's how you pronounce it. Who are YouTubers. I have no idea who these people were. This movie was such a surprise. It was enjoyable. It had its scary moments. It took kind of another inanimate object and made it scary, which nothing comes to mind recently, other than like Annabelle or something like that, that holds some kind of like paranormal power to like possess somebody. But it was an interesting take on like, I guess would be like addiction and whatnot, or a party drug. It was a new way kind of seeing like people getting possessed as kind of a, just have like a high, they get a high from getting possessed. That's not anything I'd seen before. And so that was a nice welcome element to the movie. The performances were awesome. Honestly, I can't wait to see what these guys do next. Just a fun, but somewhat horrifying film. Number 4, Bo is Afraid. Another movie that we were going to do a review on, but unfortunately life happens and then just completely passed us by. Bo is Afraid left a odd impression on me. It is a long movie, and I am all for anything Ari Aster does at this point, but it is strange, and sometimes I really can't explain it. I know it has to do with, like, anxiety. everything seems surreal, and there's surreal moments in there to where the third act just kind of like just threw me off because I was not expecting anything to happen. And I mean, it has, I would say, probably a somewhat ambiguous ending, because I remember just sitting in the theater, just kind of like going, what did I just see? I was just trying to sit there and figure out the ending. I have not watched it again, but it has stuck with me this whole time. Usually a movie like that will make it into my top five for this list. Joaquin Phoenix does an amazing job. And I know this movie is not for everybody. I think it was like 3 hours long. But, you know, I thought it was three hours long, well worth it. Maybe at some point or another we can do an actual episode, long-form discussion about it, because I still have a lot of questions, but it's not something that left me wanting more from the movie. I felt it gave everything it could, but I'm still trying to process all of it and take it all in. But it's just shot really well. The story is not linear at all. They do a lot of jumping back in time to when Bo is smaller, and his interaction with his mother and that relationship, which is really weird. But this movie takes a bunch of like detours and just like hard lefts, hard rights and stuff like that. Like, you don't see it coming at all. And that's what I pretty much enjoyed about the movie. And again, I'm still processing it. I still think about the movie every other day, just to kind of like see what did that mean, and you know what, I'm too stupid, I don't really know, but I usually kind of satisfy that curiosity when talking to other people who have seen it. So again, Bo is Afraid, number four. Number three, Evil Dead Rise. This was a nice sequel. I'm assuming it's a sequel to the 2013 Evil Dead, or might be the original. At this point, I don't remember. But regardless, it's a nice entry into the franchise. Right at the beginning of the movie, you already know what you're in for. And still amazed by that title card in the beginning of the film, just as the title shows up and it just slowly rises from the background. And it's just the music. It's just perfect, the title card. All the actors do a great job. I forget the name of the woman that is the main villain. She's great. The lady who is the final girl, the final woman, she was awesome as well. She did a great job fighting the deadites and like really taking on that Ash persona, like with the chainsaw and just covered in blood and whatnot. Like, she was a force to be reckoned with. The movie doesn't play around using all the blood it can. And again, Evil Dead movies should be over the top, just full of blood and just constantly just spewing everywhere. And it was just a fun time. And that's, at this point, this is pretty much all I want from my movies in 2023. Another fun one, another fun entry, Evil Dead Rise. Number two, Godzilla Minus One. We did a review for Godzilla Minus One. That's the most recent video that we did. I'm not a huge fan of the Godzilla movies in general. Wasn't a big fan of the 90s Godzilla movie. Like, I think I saw it one time, and that's the last time I saw it. Very forgetful. I will say that this one was not anything I expected. It had the scares, the action, the drama. The effects aren't that great, but I mean, what can you expect from someone like of an independent movie? But it was all done so well. Just an overall movie that takes place in the 40s, and you have Godzilla attacking the city and just causing mayhem and destruction, while the people band together to fight off this giant monster. And it's emotional. It's tragic, because I mean, there's a lot of people that die in this movie. But it was just one of the surprises of this year. And if you want to check out the review, link down below, Godzilla Minus One. Number one, Oppenheimer. If I remember correctly, when we reviewed this movie, I had already put this at my number one movie of the year. And it didn't waver from that. Again, I haven't seen a lot of movies I'd mentioned in the beginning of the video. Those could have been contenders. I don't know. But as of right now, Oppenheimer is my number one movie of the year. I don't think there's too much to say about that. Again, I spoke about this more in my review. I was a little skeptical of watching another Christopher Nolan movie, because the last one I had watched was Tenet. And I thought that movie was boring. It was just a convoluted mess. And I was expecting probably the same, but this had such a hype behind it, along with the Barbie movie and that whole little advertising promotions that they were doing was pretty genius. I did watch Barbie too. That was also a good movie. I should put that in my honorable mentions as well. But Cillian Murphy is fantastic. Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, like just everyone is just so great in this movie. I'm a fan of movie with intriguing kind of dialogue of between the characters and the. I'm a huge fan of just watching people converse with each other and just seeing like the dynamics between them, and since they're all like fantastic actors and actresses, like I was just enthralled. And visually, it looks great. Not much more to say about it. Again, you can check out a review. Link will be down below. So that concludes my top 10 favorite movies of 2023. Now let's take a little peek at the worst. And we'll like try and fly by these as fast as possible. They don't deserve any more attention. So first on the worst, this one's not as the worst movie, I think. But it wasn't good. Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny. They should have stopped with the Crystal Skull, but they, for money and money grab, they have to continue on. They have to bring a geriatric Harrison Ford, who's just a grumpy old man. They bring in a Phoebe Waller-Bridge as his like goddaughter. I don't know, the dynamic and the chemistry just wasn't there for me. I don't know why they just didn't do like another. It seemed like they attempted to do somewhat of a Last Crusade thing, but that chemistry just wasn't there. And it was just long, drawn out scenes and Harrison Ford and old grumpy Indiana Jones just doing nothing and then getting shafted in the end. Probably like, and this is what I think, like he got shafted in the end. He should have got what he wanted and they took it away from him. He should have just died with dignity back in that past in the war and just left it alone. But no, they had to bring him back. And it was, I just hated it. It was just, after like sifting through and thinking about it, as much as I didn't have much vitriol for it when I saw it initially, it kind of just irked me the rest of the year. And it was just like, this is just not good. And I just hope that they just stop. Next worst movie is The Flash. Didn't hate this as much as Indiana Jones, but I felt I feel like I got gaslit by like James Gunn and Tom Cruise saying that this was the best superhero movie of the year. Like, I don't know what movie they saw, but this was not the best superhero movie of the year. In fact, it looked like garbage. And how anyone could say that it was a good movie was just, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some good elements to The Flash. Not even bringing up the fact that the problematic main character that I won't even like say his name, not even wanting to bring up the problematic main hero Flash. He does a good job as the Flash and as Barry. But I felt like they brought Michael Keaton in again as a money grab to get your ass in the seats. And they did Michael Keaton dirty. This was not the Batman I was envisioning to see. And I fell for it. I went to go watch it and was severely disappointed. And then, of course, I got to see a laughable time force scene with all these cartoonish looking versions of the Flash and like DC characters and a cartoon Nicolas Cage as fucking Superman. That looks stupid. It looks just stupid. And even in the beginning scene where the Flash is saving all those babies, like those babies look scary and were like warped aliens. And I know the director is saying like, oh, that's all it looks in the time, whatever. It's like, shut up. That's not true. It looks like crap and you failed. And that's why we got this piece of garbage, The Flash. Next one is another dime a dozen type of possession film, Exorcist Believer. We need to get David Gordon Green off any other franchises. He screwed us with Halloween Ends, and now he's just toying with us with Exorcist Believer. This is the most boring, dumb, laughable movie. bringing in a legacy character. I forget her name, but it's Reagan's mom in the original Exorcist movie. To do what? Nothing but get her eyes gouged out. And then she sits out the rest of the movie and she seems like happy about it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't even know, like, there was nothing traumatic about anything. It was just a useless and wasteful. It was wasteful use of a character that probably could have been useful. I don't know, but there was nothing. It was just a bad movie. Bad. Next one is Pope's Exorcist. Another review that we did. We did one for also Exorcist Believer as well, but I'll link all those in the description below. You can hear our rants about Pope's Exorcist and the ridiculousness of this actor, Russell Crowe, like basically just phoning it in and doing this. Obviously it had to be for money. That's fine. But these are just another, why possession movie? Possession movies are shit. Like, they all have the same kind of tropes and cliches and nothing has been different. And there's a few that I refuse to watch because I could just tell from the trailer that there was going to be crap. This one, I'm thankful I didn't pay for it, but hey, you know what? It is what it is. Pope's Exorcist. Another worst movie of the year is Children of the Corn. Again, I stupidly thought that I could watch this movie thinking that, oh man, maybe they're going to revamp the franchise because most of the movies have been bad. I still like the first one. It's not that great, but I still have nostalgia for those villains, Isaac and Malachi. And the second one's not too bad. I mean, it kind of like, it just goes like downhill, like in a steep hill after those films. And I thought, hey, this one maybe looked pretty good. They're going to like change it up. This little girl is going to be the villain, all that kind of stuff. And it took away some elements of the original story and just made it worse. This was a waste of time. Children of the Corn. And it was one that was like in 2020, like it's been sitting on the shelf for like a long time. And no wonder, they should have just left it there and just left it to like die off and never be seen. But yeah, Children of the Corn, garbage. The Nun 2, hated The Nun 1. We did a review on The Nun 2. It's boring, 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 long shots that just take forever to get to the point. The only good thing about it was the goat that was running around. Again, Jesus and praying and all that stuff, like, does nothing, because the nun is still continues on. Like, you're just like putting a little temporary pause on the evil and then putting a temporary little pause on the nun, and she does nothing. They do nothing. So you waste the time. Like the evil is just there, obviously can't be destroyed. So these people are just doing a bunch of nonsense. They do nothing. They do no damage to this evil entity. And it's just annoying. But hey, my fault. I'm to go watch it. It is what it is. I'll accept my mistake. Another worst of 2023 is Insidious: The Red Door. Patrick Wilson, you directed this movie. What is going on? It was terrible. Again, another review that we did. And I just can't believe that they're just getting worse. As it goes on, it just gets worse. It's not to say that all these movies are like, some of these movies are already established franchises, already established properties and stuff like that. But like, no one's doing anything with them. Like, a lot of the new movies that came out did way better. And didn't have to rely on those member berries or bringing in legacy characters to kind of say like, well, look, they're there. I remember them. Great. There was boring scares. It was not scary at all. Insidious 1 and 2. Insidious, the first one, is fucking amazing. And it will stand as one of my favorite horror movies of all time. But a long way, it has fallen. And I don't think it'll ever get back to the good stuff. I had high hopes because Patrick Wilson was directing it, but by the way, that other Conjuring 3 movie, it was crap too. I always like to mention that as well. And the worst, and I knew it was going to be the worst. That's why this one didn't like irk me as much. Like, but I knew it was going to be bad, and it was exactly what I expected. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Yeah, you get the property of Winnie the Pooh, and you try to make it horrible. Jesus. You try to make it scary and kind of traumatizing us children who grew up with Winnie the Pooh, and you turned it into Wrong Turn meets Spirit Halloween masks on some faceless people going around killing people while calling people Christopher Robin and Pooh and Piglet. And I thought the animated portion at the beginning was better than the rest of the movie. We probably should have had more of that. I probably would have accepted that more than the movie that we got. But again, I knew it was going to be bad. It was bad. And I honestly don't remember, to be honest with you. I mean, a few kills, some stupid Pooh mask, some really crap Piglet mask. If you can even call them those characters, because they look nothing like what they would be. They're just generic masks. But hey, I can't wait to see the second one and see how bad that one is going to be. That is it. That is the last of the worst of 2023. I'm pretty sure there was more, but those are the ones that really, really kind of just sucked. I hope you enjoyed watching this video. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you on the next review, the next reaction. Again, appreciate you watching all last year, and hopefully bring you more entertaining reviews and videos this year. And yeah, thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.